Welcome to the Race with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. We've got your daily Bible reading for February 7th, 2019, looking at the last portion of Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 39, Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you don't enter into temptation." He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat became like great drops of blood, falling down on the ground. When he rose up from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd appeared. He who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He came near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" A certain one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "Let me at least do this." And he touched the ear and healed him. Jesus said to the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders who had come against him, "Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you in the temple daily, you didn't stretch out your hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." They seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down among them. A certain servant girl saw him as he sat in the light, and looking intently at him, she said, "This man also was with him." He denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter answered, "Man, I am not." After about 1 hour passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Truly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly. The men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" They spoke many other things against him, insulting him. As soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders of the people were gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you won't believe, and if I ask, you will in no way answer me or let me go. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said to him, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say it, because I am." They said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? From we ourselves have heard it with his own mouth." This is the word of our God. As we zoom in and Luke takes us by the hand to walk through the events of that late Maundy Thursday evening, and if we collect the other gospel accounts, we get a full picture of what happened. And Luke does a pretty good job, I would say, of hitting the highlights. We've got Jesus going off and praying a couple of times. Judas showing up and betraying the Son of Man with a kiss, which I think is mentioned in all four gospels. And in verse 49, the disciples are saying, "Shall we strike with the sword?" 11 verses earlier, back in verse 38, he had said, "Whoever has a cloak, sell it and buy a sword." And they said, "Lord, we've got 2 swords. And he says, "That's enough." His point there was that life would be different now. His point wasn't that they should try to strike with two swords against this mob of 20, maybe 30, or maybe even more. His point was that life would be different, and they missed that point. And Peter, as we hear from, I think the Gospel of John tells us that it's Peter, is verse 50. A certain one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Obviously, looking to have that hit that would end that man's involvement in the fight right away. And he gets away with a grazing shot of an ear. But verses 51 to 53 are fascinating. At this time when they've come to take Jesus captive, to take him to their nighttime kangaroo court and then meet again in the morning, because they wanted to meet on two separate days, and that's as close as they could get because the time is short, and they've got to have him crucified before Saturday. Really, it's a special Sabbath day within the Passover week. And so all of a sudden their timeline has been bumped up, and Jesus says, "Time out, stop for just a minute." And he picks up this man's ear, and this man who's clutching the side of his head in terror, and Jesus says, "Let me do this." And he reattaches the ear and gives it a little wipe, and the man is healed. The contrast between them coming in their unbelief, them wanting to convict him of blasphemy for saying that he is the Son of God, and Jesus standing there in the middle of the garden in the torchlight, providing healing, picking an ear up off the ground to heal this guy. The contrast couldn't be greater. And again, we're reminded of some of the same things, that miracles don't create faith, that only the Word of God creates faith, that arrogance and unbelief, unbelief kind of makes us do dumb things, really. And sin makes us do dumb things, even when all the evidence is stacked against us, and even when the proof is that Jesus just healed somebody. So what are we to learn from this? Well, in the rest of the chapter, we have the denial of Peter. And in the middle of that courtyard, in that house, probably Annas's house, Jesus happens to be being transferred from one area to another, maybe to a holding place for the night, as the rooster is crowing, and as Peter makes his third denial. So what are we to learn? Well, we see that there's unbelief from those who should have known better. We see that there's unbelief and there's denial from his closest friend. We see again and again the weakness and fallacy of humanity, the weakness of people as they fall, as they make great claims and then don't follow through. "Lord, I'm willing to go to prison with you. Lord, I'm willing to die with you." And Peter's the one who can't even last for another 6 hours after that. But what else do we see? The Son of God, who has the power to heal and the power to call down 12 legions of angels, willingly goes to stand before that kangaroo court and willingly goes to be crucified, testifying to the truth that he is the Son of God, and willingly standing there to lay down his life for you and for me. "Are you then the Son of God?" Verse 70, "You say it, because I am." They said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." Why do we need any more witnesses? They've got their blasphemy, or so they think. But today, thinking of our Jesus, who will one day return in the clouds of heaven, hopefully sooner rather than later, why do we need any more witnesses? All the evidence stacks up that he is the Son of God, and that he is exactly who he said he is, and that he will return. So there's no more proof needed from the Bible, but we still have the need for us to speak of this truth, to be witnesses for our Savior, to work together and share our ideas and our time and our talents, to plan our ministry together, that we might make the best and most efficient use of our time in service of proclaiming the kingdom and serving as witnesses of our Savior. So as you go about your day, wherever you happen to be, think of what it is that makes our congregation unique, or your own home congregation unique. Where does your congregation fit in the community? And obviously, yes, the Word of God is preached there in all in its truth and in its purity. But let's take it a step further. That the Word of God is preached there in such a way, and on Communion Sundays, this same Jesus comes in body and in blood in that sacrament. If people are wondering, where is God? It's really easy to find him. He's found there in worship. He's present in word. He's present in sacrament. What is it that makes us unique? That we've been entrusted with the Word of God to be witnesses of this Jesus. You can find us Sundays at 9 a.m., 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. Once again, this is the Raised with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Resurrection Lutheran Church of Maumee, Ohio. 10 minutes every day, where the life of Jesus meets yours. God bless your day.